Well, chapter 1 is where we're going to start. So if you go to Matthew chapter 1, it's kind of neat that in verse 17 it says, "Thus there were 14 generations in all from Abraham to David, 14 from David to the exiles to Babylon, and 14 from the exiles to Christ." Why would God make sure that we write these things down that don't make sense? So from Christ to me, there's 42 generations, which is kind of cool. This is how, verse 18, the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, which is important, before there was relations, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man. Look at the word righteous. He was acceptable before God, correct? And did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He had it in mind to divorce her quietly. Did you ever have a plan in your brain to satisfy the circumstance and try to find a solution that would not hurt anyone?
Yes.
So you would protect the innocent, keep on walking, and then slip out of the picture when you could. And that's what he was showing me this morning. He was reminding me that, you know, righteousness is not a gift of looking for justice. In fact, as I was driving home from Canada, the Holy Spirit had me go check out one of the CDs that I've had for quite a while. And he said, take the third one out of the little container and don't look to see what it is before you put it in. So obviously, I looked at the number 3 and I slipped it in. And here was the message. And the thing that jumped out was this. The devil loves justice and uses it for his purpose. The devil loves justice. And we sometimes would like to see justice, but mercy triumphs over justice. Mercy is greater than justice. And we could prove that in the scripture, but I'm not going there. What I am saying is, I shut the CD off and I began to rehearse. Justice is loved by the demonic. It's loved by the governments of the world. And the governments of the world are under the anointing of... Yeah, the enemy. Now, what is the specialty of our God? Grace, mercy, love, compassion, all of the above, plus, plus, plus. So when I am bowing to release myself to get justice out of something, who am I actually submitting to? Now, Joseph is caught. His wife, not yet, but dedicated to him, is way out there and her body is showing all kinds of signs and he's not exactly a happy camper and he's got in his mind, let's get rid of this woman, you know, very quietly. I'll divorce her in a few more weeks after the baby's born and no one will be the wiser and then I'll keep on living. And then a dream comes. Chuck had a dream in 1992. We didn't get to hear about it until 2007 or whatever. And you and I would say, well, now isn't that kind of silly? Why would God give a dream to our friend Chuck in 92 and he keeps it to himself? records it on a cassette tape for a confirmation that would come in 2007. And he's already with the Lord. You and I would never do that.
Oh, yes, we would if we obeyed him. And that shows you the obedience of our friend Chuck. Let's take a peek. Verse 20. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit.
Now, in my book of natural understanding, I would have had a problem. But undoubtedly, this righteous man had enough grace and favor flowing through him that he went to her house and said to her parents, I'm taking her home. To me, that was erasing her shame and the threat that was on her life. Because you see, the whole village showed their character when our Savior declared that he was the Messiah. And they were able to throw him over a cliff mentally in a matter of seconds. So had the character of the town changed in 30 years? Thank you. Some of you are shaking your head to the negative. And I agree. The town, to me, was critical, fault-finding, and under the law. And when Jesus declared that he was the Messiah, he was the anointed one, they wanted to throw him over a cliff, and he disappeared in the midst of them. Mary couldn't disappear. Her belly was a little bit too big. It was the evidence that they needed to kill her. And you know what? Did you ever realize that some people have enough evidence to get rid of you and me? Some of you have been through some all kinds of dark areas. But the Savior, the Holy One of Israel, saved the Messiah inside of Mary's womb. Got her out of town so she could give birth in a manger. And you and I would say, now come on, Kim, this is not fair. After all she's been through, she now gets connected with her husband. He doesn't touch her. We know that for sure. And she has this wonderful little baby. And by the way, it causes a problem. It causes all kinds of difficulty for her. Yet she holds things in her heart, knowing that there's a season coming down the road that will be difficult. There were enough warnings, and I could go on and on and on and give you all the scriptures, and I'm not going to do that. I am believing to you today that this Christmas season, there will be dreams, visions, signs, and wonders that will manifest through this season for each of you. It's not something that's going to happen to the neighbors. Say, it's going to happen to me. And I'm expecting signs and wonders for me. Not just for the neighbors. And there are things that are hidden. That which was hidden will manifest publicly for the glory of God. Giving thanks now. Giving thanks. Don't let go. Giving thanks for the unknown. Giving thanks for the preparation work that needs to be done in each of us. Because it needs to be done. That preparation work that was done to make Joseph a righteous man, to make him prepare for submission to a dream, and then the grace to carry it out and publicly go get her by the hand and take her out of Mama and Dad's house and bring her under his own home, where she would be safe. Especially from the tattling tongues of those that were probably already giving all kinds of news. You know, when she came back from Elizabeth's house, she was quite pregnant. Now, I can tell you that when my wife got pregnant with our number one, everybody in town knew by the time she was a couple of months, because my wife's waist was this big. She weighed 89 pounds. We went to her aunt's for dinner, and she put on a dress, which was like a coat type of dress where it had like buttons over here on both sides and you could kind of overlap it. Okay, she's going in the mirror and she says, "Kim, I can't wear this dress." And I said, "What's wrong with it?" She says, "I can't button it. Auntie's going to know I'm pregnant." And I said, "What would be the problem with that?" "I don't want to tell him yet." So she found another outfit that she could wear that would be a little more loose, that wouldn't show. When number two came, she went 6 months before anybody knew that she was expecting, because she kept losing weight and he kept gaining weight. We had a total reversal, and she put on 45 pounds for number one, which was way out. Didn't make any sense. She weighed 89 pounds when we got married. By the time she got pregnant, I think she weighed maybe about 90, 95. What am I saying? Mary was showing. The degree of showing as it increased, increased the gossip, confirming and reconfirming. And God had a plan for Joseph. Now close your eyes. Say, even when the enemy stacks garbage against me, God's got a plan. He might use a dream to bring salvation. He might use a vision to deliver me, but he's never changed his ways. If there's any form of betrayal or early death that's planned for me, God will lift up a standard, not only to protect me, but to bring me into a safe place for his glory. He did it for Mary and Jesus, and he can do it again. Hallelujah.